You have questions? We have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. And today, Jane, we're going to go right into the real estate since it's an off football week, so I won't bust your, I'll hold you next week to the Super Bowl prediction, though.
This week, we have something else to celebrate. Yeah. To whom celebrate the Chinese New Year? Happy New Year. 恭喜发财. And you can see today I wear red.
Yeah.
That's a Chinese way to celebrate the new year and a wedding, anything happiness, you wear red.
Oh, nice.
And my husband, like wore a semi-match.
I did red, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I copied you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you say, what year is it this year? And explain for the listeners that don't know the cycles of how many cycles there are for the Chinese animals and what year this is.
Chinese have a total 12. And this year is going to be tiger. So last 2 years is red. It's the first. We have a 12-year cycle. The red is the first one. And the ox is second. Third is tiger. Don't ask me how that happened.
But that was many, many years ago. Somebody laid down the rule.
That's right. They have so many different stories why it is. So, I mean, they said why cat kill mouse because the mouse outsmart everybody. They dig a hole, so they won the number one. And then cat was number 13, so that's why cat killed mouse. But that's a story I was told. But this is the third one, is tiger. And I was told by the feng shui master, this year is better than the red and ox year. So can't wait. It's a great way to start the new year. Yes.
Oh, and let's hope so, considering that 2020 and 2021 were a little bit rough for most people with all the COVID stuff. So it's got to be better than not worse, right?
Absolutely. The tiger, strong. Yay.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yes. Strong like King Kong. Yeah.
Yeah. Healthy and prosperity and a happy, happy new year.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Definitely. All right. So let's get back to the real estate.
Yes.
The last show, we were started talking about the selling process, about what, you know, we went through the steps, getting your home ready to sell, the marketing, you know, the photos, and then started talking about the procedure with how you market the house through showing time, which is mainly the venue for the real estate agents to show the house, and also other marketing avenues like hosting open houses and the advantages of that, and, you know, allowing more flexibility, more buyers to see the home. It's all about exposure, getting more, the more people that come and can view the home, the more chance for offers and you know, driving the price up and all that. So then we started touching upon, you know, what the procedure is when you get an offer, and there's no real rule of how to go. It's kind of case by case specific. If you get one offer, should you accept it, or should you wait till you get more offers, or what period of time? If the home has been on the market for a week or 2 weeks, at what point of time does the seller say, you know what, I got to pull the trigger and accept one? So that's kind of, it's kind of a case by case situation, and that's where they have to look for the guidance of a professional realtor to let guide them based on their particular home and the market conditions, right?
Absolutely. And once the seller accept a offer and they sign it, they go into attorney review. That's something we want to bring all the seller's attention. In New Jersey, attorney review is really not a binding contract yet.
Wait, you should step back. And once they're, you're leaving out a very important step. Basically, the way the offer is done, you have the realtors have a contract. They either use the New Jersey, most realtors use the New Jersey NJAR contract, which is basically a pre-printed contract that's got fill in the blanks for the price, the deposit, the closing date, the mortgage commitment due date, if applicable. Basically it's fill in the blanks. So that was a settlement reached between the realtors and the lawyers that allow licensed realtors to handwrite or type in that particular
pre-printed
contract. And there's also an additional provision section at the very end where you can write in additional things like the waiver of the appraisal contingency, the waiver or limitation of the home inspection.
Yeah.
But that's what, and then basically that's presented to the seller with the offer along with the mortgage pre-approval letter if they're getting a mortgage, or the proof of funds if they're paying cash. And then once the seller initials and signs that and you have a fully executed document, then you present that to the attorney.
That's right.
And we should clear up because a lot of sellers basically say to you, Jane, I don't want to sign anything until I have my attorney look at it. But that's different. Like in New Jersey, the attorneys don't look at anything until they have a fully executed realtor contract. That starts
Absolutely.
The basis, right?
Yeah. The key thing from that is a lot of buyer and a seller get confused. When the buyer agent wrote an offer, that's called offer. But once seller accepted, the same paperwork become a contract. But it's not a binding contract. It's subject to attorney review, which has come to another very important point, right? When you in attorney review, if the buyer or seller didn't, well, both parties didn't have a lawyer represent them, if they did nothing, a lot of people said, if I do nothing, and that means we didn't have a contract, wrong. If your buyer and a seller, if both side lawyer didn't do anything or you didn't have a lawyer, after third day, okay, when you deliver the contract to the other party, fully executed contract, right, that day doesn't count. From the next day, right, three business days, right, the contract is binding.
Binding, that's correct.
It's based on the pre-printed contract.
Right.
So it's binding.
But that's why with every contract, you're required to give both your buyer and your seller the opinion 26, which has to be part of the contract. It's got to be signed by both the buyer and the seller,
yes,
and the list agent and the buyer agent, that basically explains to them the right to have a contract. And it basically tells them the implications of not having an attorney review the contract and
yes,
disapprove of it. Otherwise, so that's a very important disclosure that all
must be signed.
Have to be signed and
yes,
aware of, right?
That said, a real estate agent cannot give a legal advice, and you're entitled of an attorney, but you recommend to have an attorney. So another misunderstanding could be during the attorney review, do I start still showing the home? Once again, that's individually based on the seller.
Putting on your marketing hat and your sales hat, you're always going to say yes.
Yes.
Because you can get more money for your client. That's
not only more money, it's better terms.
Better terms.
I had so many times, right? We were able to, in the attorney review, and we got a better offer. So we always, be fair for the first, for one we have in the contract, go back to them. But sometimes if they had a very low down payment or, it's really financially not as strong, say if you have a cash offer, during the attorney review, the seller want a sure thing, and especially with a very flexible closing date, and the other person said, oh, I'm cash, I don't have nothing to sell, I can close any day. Obviously, it's much better suit
right,
for the seller. So
but
in
another,
nutshell.
Right, and another reason you want to continue to market the home during attorney review is the buyer could change their mind too.
Yes, many times happens.
They could have something else, or they could have a loss of job, or they could find another house that they like better, and then they could tell their attorney, just issue a kill letter. And so the listeners know, in attorney review, the contract can be canceled by either side
yes,
for any reason or no
or
reason.
No reason.
They just change their mind. They don't have to give a reason. That's a whole, beauty or magic of attorney review. Basically,
yeah,
during attorney review, there is no binding contract, because the first thing the attorney says when the first attorney to strike a letter will say, I hereby disapprove of the contract. However, it would be acceptable subject to, and then they list maybe 10 to 20 to 30 paragraphs subject to X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
So basically you're in no man's land during attorney review until both sides agree to the attorney review letters or addendums, and then they sign off, or the attorneys sign off on it.
Absolutely. During that time, the house, still on the market, and the people still can present. I understand sometimes the buyer agent write on a contract after accept offer, you seller agree no longer show the home. Sometimes our sellers don't want to show the home. They said, we're happy with our buyer, we don't want to show. But on the other hand, we cannot stop people to make offer. How many times we stop the showing, the seller said, nope, Jane, I understand what you're saying, you want the best for me, but the best for me is to stop showing. It's a COVID, plus we're happy with the buyer, we don't want to show.
Right, but here's another situation. Let's say we're out of attorney review, and this is probably, let's say you get an offer a week before the closing. As an agent, you get an offer from another agent, it's a week before the closing. What is your duty? Is your duty to present the offer to the seller?
Absolutely.
Yep.
You have to present. I mean, I have a lot of time the agent call me, say, oh, Jane, I saw you under contract. I mean, my buyer want to make offer. It is our duty to present the offer to the seller up to the date of closing.
Closing, right.
Regardless the seller legally can accept it or not, it is our job to present an offer. but has to be written offer. Okay. Yeah. Can't be. I mean, recently I had someone contact me through Facebook, say, I want to make offer. I know you're on the contract. I mean, I said you have to really talk to your lawyer, talk to your agent to make a formal offer. I can't just go to seller and say, hey, somebody sent me a note on the Facebook and say, hi, Jane,
right.
I'm interested in your house. I have an agent. Right. That's not how it works. You have to put in the proper channel, you know, and also you know, even your backup offer, you never know. I mean, sometimes if the offer didn't work out for whatever reason, even though, you know, the as you mentioned before, the buyer could lose a job or anything may happen here, right? And then, you know, you may have a chance if you back up.
And here's another point. During attorney review, if the list agent gets any offers, for full transparency, the way we do it and what I think is a very good practice is all offers should be presented to the seller and the seller attorney. So there's full transparency.
Yes.
It protects the agent from being accused of anything, and you know, you want full transparency, full disclosure. So you always want to present the agent's offer to both the seller and the seller attorney while you're in attorney review. So
absolutely.
So everything is documented, you know, black and white.
Exactly. That's our policy, you know, that's a Mueller team's policy. We always want to make sure to do the right thing, you know, to the for the seller, for the buyer, for the buyer agent, all parties. So in that way, you know, I mean, it's a fair. So they understand what's happening. And especially for the contract they sign, sometimes the buyer think the seller or seller agent has not been truthful. They just want to jack up more price. They say, oh, I have another offer. I mean, we never, you know, unless we truly have an offer, once again, when we forward the contract to the lawyer, if the lawyer call to give the first refusal to the current contract, that's more, you know, carry more weight, right?
And let's talk about another interesting twist. Let's say you have the first offer that's accepted. Let's say the offer was for $550,000. Mm. Offer B comes in during attorney review. That's for $575,000. So what, as a list agent, and what is the duty owed, if anything, to the buyer agent for offer A that was the one accepted, that's in attorney review, that's, let's say, $25,000 less, but buyer A doesn't know that. So you have to...
You know what? That is a gray area, because in my opinion anyway. So for me, as you mentioned before, we always present any offer in attorney review to the attorney and the seller, okay? After that, it's really, I mean... up to attorney and the seller what they want to do. But I always highly recommend the seller and the attorney and ask them to give a first, you know, agent, give me authorization to give the first agent a heads up. Because as an agent, I'm very careful what I can say.
Right.
Can't.
And you can never disclose what anybody else does, but you can at least let them know there's another offer that was...
Yes, but even another offer, I always get a seller approval. Said, well, would I think we owe the first buyer agent, you know, a call. And at least, I mean, at the end of the day, the first buyer have a three thing. They can either increase their offer or they can stay the same. Sometimes the seller still may go with them or they can just say no.
Right.
So, I mean, so at least courtesy, you know.
That's where it gets into the emotional standpoint.
That's
Not only the money with the seller if they feel loyalty to the first buyer. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back to get more into this right after this.
Calling all commercial buyers interested in owning prime space in a strip mall located directly off of busy Route 33 in downtown Hamilton. The space is suitable for office, medical, or possible retail usage. For more information on this property, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Mueller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're talking about the selling process, and we covered the offers and you know, how you handle that multiple bids and the strategy there. So I think we covered on that well enough. So let's finish up on the offer process. So if you have the offer A is in attorney review, offer B comes in higher, there's no right way to handle it. It's case by case, and it's up to the seller at times what they want to do.
Yep. Let's talk about once we under contract, right? And the buyer agent normally will schedule a home inspection, and also the buyer will go ahead with the mortgage application.
Right. And with the home inspection, we cover that in detail with the previous episodes. Everybody can listen to our podcast, all you know, which
or
with
video.
Bharat Patel, mm-hmm. where we cover the technical aspects of what a home inspection is. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the emotional aspects, because typically when the buyer does a home inspection, they're going to get the inspector will give them this lengthy report, and then the lawyer will go through it, and the agent will go through with them. Then the lawyer will write a repair request letter that could be one or multiple pages that'll give a laundry list of repairs. And some of them may be legitimate, some of them may be debatable, and that's where the emotional standpoint comes in, because oftentimes the sellers will get upset and think, oh my God, they asked for the sun, the moon, and the sky, where it may not be the case. So there's a certain emotional element where the seller has to be calmed down. And
absolutely. I always advise seller, right? Whatever they can ask, but doesn't mean we have to agree. Right? We can pick what we think is reasonable. What is reasonable? How do I determine what is reasonable? Right? I always advise the seller, if, say, we put on a market again, just say if this one doesn't work out, how many buyers would agree? Right, just like you go to court, right? What's a reasonable person? What is reasonable?
Right. That it's no is black and standard.
Yeah,
that
that's is. No black and white. But majority people say, for example, right, if you have a redom problem, I would say 99.9% buyer would walk away or demanding you repair or give a credit.
You hit a very good point. It's called a reasonable standard. That's one of the things in law school that's used a lot in criminal and for criminal standards, for torts. It's what the reasonable man, I mean, that's the way it was worded, would do or how they would react. Would it be a self-defense or would it be a tort matter? So that's pretty appropriate for real estate
without going to law school.
Yeah, there you go. So you get a little honorary mention there.
Thank you.
Is very true for home inspection. It is what's reasonable, what's not reasonable. If it's cosmetic defects, if it's something that's visually apparent, like, you know, cracks in the kitchen tile or peeling
you can
wallpaper,
see it already.
Yeah,
yes.
Plus they're aesthetic or cosmetic, so you're not really, that's really not on the table for repair requests.
Yeah, once again, right? I think for my experience, the number one thing I'd recommend the seller to be calm. Okay, to not to be too personal. It's hard. Just like if you say my daughter is not the most beautiful girl in the world, I get upset too, you know. But you have to distance that. It's very personal, I get it. But you have to sort of look at it from the third person point of view.
From an objective standpoint.
Yes, exactly.
Really right.
Yeah, sometimes the seller really get upset. They buyer write a letter. Once again, in our previous episode, we mentioned, right, the home inspector job is to point out everything. You know, they didn't say you ask for everything, point out everything. But sometimes some buyer would ask more, some buyer would ask, you know, that's the main point. But that's the first letter, in my opinion, experience. It's just open a dialogue, open negotiation. So I would say to seller, don't get discouraged or lose sleep or worried or upset because of first letter. I had example, some sellers saw they had a mold or they have some, you know, I mean, big issue, they lose sleep. I said, no, the buyer have no sign of backing out. As long as we fix it professionally, prevent it happen again. When you fix, it's not only fix the problem, you have to fix the cause. So prevent it going to happen again. So most buyers are reasonable, especially in today's market. So that's really, don't panic. The emotion, you know, that's the most difficult part during the home inspection process in my, you know, experience.
Right. And typically the buyer attorney will give a list of maybe 10 to 12 items. And then
sometimes the summary, the whole thing.
No, the whole summary, right.
And then, that's really, you know, really upset.
But the expectation on the buyer side is not necessarily to get everything done. That's just a starting ground. And they know that the seller is going to chop that list. And so if they only ask for 6 items up front, they're only going to get 2. So their strategy is to basically ask for more and then know that they're going to chop it, but they want to have enough cushion so they get what they really want. But it's really negotiation between typically the agents get involved and you see what is legitimate, what's not legitimate. Of course, mold, radon are kind of, you know, sometimes waterproofing issues are big. Or if there's a structural issue with a beam, you know, that it may not be, it's probably not the end of the world, but it probably has to be addressed through, you know, the joist if there's a crack or something in the foundation. So those are all very important issues, and then electrical and plumbing, if there's leaks, of course, it has to be, you're buying a house with the expectation that the roof doesn't leak, that the plumbing doesn't leak, that the electrical GFIs
are working
properly, right? So there's certain...
Safety is a big concern, right. Like the radon, like the, other, safety issues. So, I mean, once we finish the negotiation with the home inspection, it's really negotiation, right? No right or wrong
answer.
And
we should say the negotiation can end in basically three different ways. Basically, the seller can say, I'm not doing anything, and the buyer
can accept it. Which is happening in today's market more open than you think.
Or the buyer can walk away.
Yes.
Or the parties can negotiate and agree to a compromise where the seller fixes certain things and doesn't fix others, or the seller can give a monetary credit.
Yes.
I'll give you $3,000, credit. For everything and to go away, or they can fix certain things and give a credit for others, and that could be the settlement.
Yes.
So there's all different scenarios what could happen based on the condition of the repair request.
Absolutely. And one thing I just would like to mention, right? I mean, some buyers, it's not often in today's seller market, but in the buyer market, right? Some buyer like to finish home inspection, finish the negotiation, and then apply the mortgage. The reason is they don't want to waste money on the mortgage application and the appraisal. But I think that's really, should be done in deep, in good faith, in do it independent of the home inspection. And most of the time, personally, I feel right, if the buyer went ahead, had a home inspection and had a mortgage application, right, if later on we do have a negotiate back forth and a home inspection, if the buyer finished the mortgage application, the loan's clear to close, right, or get a commitment letter at least, that will helping the seller to more compromise because we see the end of the tunnel, but some buyers say, nope, I want to get this. I will do that. In today's seller market, the seller can say, you know what? That's too much for me.
And that's
Let's
where
put
the,
back on
and
the
that's
market.
Where a good list agent comes in because it's the list agent's job to follow up, make sure that deposit money is tendered to the buyer attorney or the seller attorney or the title company, whoever is supposed to hold
both,
it.
Both agent job.
Well, it's both agent's job, but you want to protect your seller. And also you want to make sure that the appraisal is ordered and that's done because you need the appraisal to get the mortgage commitment. And the mortgage commitment is typically a 30-day period from the end of attorney review, so you don't want them to wait till the end of the home inspection because the home inspection could be scheduled in 2 weeks, and then thereafter you could be negotiating. So you don't want to find out the appraisal's not ordered, and then you're going to be behind in getting the mortgage commitment.
Yeah. Well, when you get behind a mortgage commitment, right? Once again, this is seller market. If the seller can cancel the contract because you're in breach, because if you didn't do the mortgage commitment according to the contract, your lawyer, the buyer lawyer, should ask for extension. The seller don't have to grant it. So that's the thing. Think about it. If the seller and the buyer arguing for, say, $1,000, right? They couldn't reach agreement. $1,000 is a lot of money, right? And if the buyer didn't apply mortgage yet, from the seller or seller agent perspective, we really didn't lose much. If we cancel the contract and the buyer going to take X amount of time, 30 days to get a mortgage anyway, but if you already had a mortgage done, so we will say, how much we fight about $1,000. Look at from business perspective, right? If we put about market, assume we get the same amount, right? And then your property tax is worth more than $1,000 for the delay.
For
a lot of time is with the home inspection, I always advise seller, it's not right or wrong. It's a business decision. So once we, settle that and hopefully buyer had appraisal done, that mortgage, and then have a commitment letter, the lawyer, sometimes some buyer attorney order the title after the buyer get commitment letter. But in my opinion, today's market, it may be a little too late because in the regular market, yes, absolutely, because normally they can get in 3 to 5 days.
And we had a whole episode previously about title that goes into the importance of title, what it covers, the judgment searches on both the buyer and the seller, the liens that are on the property, and that's why it's important. So, right, and assuming the title is clear, the mortgage commitment is given, then we're really pretty much on the launch pad ready to go to the closing. It's not a done deal yet, but but you're getting close to liftoff.
Yeah. The buyer has the buyer mortgage company have to clear to close. Once the buyer mortgage company clear to close, and the both attorney can schedule closing day and time. Once the schedule day and time, and then the agent can schedule the final walkthrough.
Well, actually, wait a minute. Now there's another step. I said we got to go through the details, right? Because now the law changed under the New Jersey contract. They now will give the buyers the legal right to do a pre-final walkthrough and a final walkthrough.
Yes.
I think the purpose of the pre-final walkthrough is really to probably check the house to make sure the agreed upon repairs were done.
Yes.
And, you know, which is good. It saves time. It should hopefully save time at the final walkthrough.
Yes.
But that's something that the buyers have a right to do if they choose. So not every buyer is going to do two walkthroughs, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they have that right to do it in the contract.
Absolutely. I always advise the seller about, because sellers say, why do you want to come back twice? Were they looking for problem? I said, no, that's their legal right. Whether or not they exercise their right is the buyer's choice, right? Mm-hmm. And all the contract we closed last year was almost, 98 contract. I think only one maybe had a two walkthrough. Majority of the buyer chose just had a final walkthrough. The final walkthrough either the day before the closing or the same day of closing.
Yeah. And speaking about, we forgot also about mentioned the CCO and the fire.
Yes.
That's a necessary step that the sellers have to do. Every seller in New Jersey needs to have a fire inspection done, and depending on the town you reside in, you may also need a CCO. That's town dependent.
Yeah, dependent. As far as the CCO, I always recommend the seller, especially if they had a house for 20, 30, 40 years, right? Normally, we start a CCO process as soon as we got under contract. So just like the buyer not waiting for the home inspection to apply the mortgage, the seller, we always, as a Mueller team, we always help seller for the process, because at the end of the day, we do hundreds of closing a year. So we help them, to apply to schedule a home inspection, because sometimes with a CCO you may not pass first time, you may right. not pass second time, you may not pass third time, so it may take time. So as soon as we under contract, we would advise seller to apply. And generally speaking, most of CCO and the fire expire in 6 months, but a certain town only 3 months. So once again, it's a case by case, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's 6 months, we normally just apply as soon as, once again, we under contract, because you have 6 months. If this deal doesn't work out, you have a time. But 3 months one, you really have the time a little bit later. But once again, if it's CCO, I rather suggest owner to pay re-inspection than
right.
lose it.
Absolutely,
so that's
right.
very important.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we come to the final day of the final walkthrough, assuming the buyer has it clear to close. And one of the things, we have to wrap this up, but we're going to get through this now. What's one of the most important things for the sellers to realize the day of the final walkthrough? We've talked about it, but it's so, so important, is the utilities.
Yeah. Do not call. So a lot of sellers...
Do not shut off your utilities.
Yes.
They must stay on until you legally close
Title,
which is
yeah.
after the walkthrough. The buyers need the utilities
after
on.
After the closing.
They want to check the heat, the lights, so the utilities must stay on.
And I had a seller call to ask for final reading, but they just cut it. So do not call utility company. The gas and the electric must be on.
Once you close, you call the utilities, and then you call your insurance company and tell them
homeowner insurance
and tell them to close the insurance out the following, as of midnight, then you're covered.
Yep, that's very important. So, do not cut off your utility. We can't stress enough. I always inform the seller, but somehow,
have to communicate through the process as a reminder,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, we're out of time. The time goes so fast. We hope everybody has a good, great weekend, and we'll see everyone next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Mueller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.